Just a tremendous worship team. Yes, I heard some clap. You can clap for them. You were singing that song right before the prayer, and I go, oh, just I love that harmony. It's just beautiful. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. I think if Americans Got Talent comes to Salina, that they should audition. All agree? Say aye. How many think America Got Talent's going to come to Salina? Yeah. but how about Toledo? Anyway, you guys are doing a great job, and I just want to thank you for that. Well, we're going to change gears a little bit. We're going to stay in a generous life. Now, I'm glad that the sermon I preached last Sunday was destined to be preached 4 weeks ago, and it just kept, you know, something else would take its place. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad that sermon's done. It's one of those I don't like preaching. But at the same time, it's in God's word, so you have to present it and present God's word to the people. The stuff you like and the stuff you don't like. Now, this week is a sermon I like. And it's one that I'm excited about because we're going to talk about one of my favorite events that happened in Scripture. I don't want to say story because little pigs is a story, but I want to say event that happened in Scripture because, and I say event because it happened. And so we're eventually going to look at one of my favorite events. And then yesterday when I was going over the sermon, just preparing it, something else came to mind. And I found something and I got excited about that. So we're going to have some exciting things today. Are you excited? Good. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're continuing in our series entitled A Generous Life. And part of generosity is giving gratitude to the Lord even when. And I'm going to leave that open. And the reason why I say even when is because we're at different phases in our lives in a lot of different things. And God is worthy of praise and deserves praise irregardless of what we're going through. If it's the great times in our lives or maybe even the lower times in our lives, God is with us and God gets the praise. And I'm going to explain how we develop that attitude of gratitude today, especially in the Christian life. Because think about it, how can we as Christians give God praise and glory and honor when it seems like everything's falling apart? Think about that. See, we're in the Western church, and the Western church has equated health, wealth, and prosperity with God's blessing. But then you look at other churches in other parts of the world, maybe China or Afghanistan, and they're struggling right now in the midst of persecution. So if we follow the Western mindset, what it is that those churches are not blessed by God, and we are. No, that's not true. In fact, where the Church of Jesus Christ is growing the most is where most of the persecution is happening. Why is that? And I can give you my theories, but when you have a church that can do nothing but trust God 100%, even to the daily needs that they have, they're totally relying upon Him, and then we have the Western church that, let's be honest, we're not totally relying on the Lord. We don't have to be, but they have to be. We'll talk more about that later. So here we have the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is starting to make some comments here that are weird. Because he starts talking about all he's gone through for the cause of Christ. And yet he says, and I will boast even more about it. Well, let me explain. I want to go to chapter 11, let's do 21, second half. It says, whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am not out of my mind. When I talk like this, I am one more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger of from rivers, in danger of bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger from the country, in danger at sea, and in danger of false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressures of my concern for all the church who is weak and I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin and I have not inwardly burned. Now notice what he says. He just went through the whole section of everything he's gone through. And many of us would consider that to be, what am I doing wrong, God? Why am I facing this, God? But he was doing everything right. Verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, and knows that I am not lying. So what is Paul saying? I will boast about the Lord and I will praise him even more, even in the midst of all that I'm going through. I will praise him. I will give him thanks and honor, for he is worthy to be praised. Now when Paul wrote part of the scriptures, he wrote what were called the prison epistles. You know, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, and I just lost the other one. But he wrote the prison epistles. That means he wrote them when he was in jail or under house arrest. Because he was a Roman citizen, he was able to go to a home and he could be incarcerated in his home, but he had to have a Roman soldier with him. So many times he's writing these sayings, he's actually chained to a Roman soldier. Got that? No privacy. And you're saying, wait a minute, he's not able to share the good news of Jesus Christ because that Paul was called to be the preacher to the Gentiles. By the way, what's a Roman soldier? But a Gentile. One of the hardest things for us to do is to recognize the fact that God is in control, always in control, and even though we may not understand why we go through what we go through, God is directing it to a way that brings him glory and honor. So here's Paul in the Bible, and the Bible says there are some times that Paul even had more than one Roman soldier with him. He's writing these epistles. He's preaching the gospel. He's sharing the good news with the Gentiles right next to him, chained to him. See, many times we need to understand that we might be going through something, but God is in control. And God might be using us to bring more about the good news of Jesus Christ to others. And I'll explain that more a little bit later. So even in the midst of unjust whatever Paul was going through, we have a tendency to start to complain about it. Paul did not. Paul gave praise to God as a result of that. Now that is hard. That is hard. So while Paul's in prison, he writes these words, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul writes these words while he's in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then he says this, verse 8. Finally, brothers, Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Boy, if you had a highlighter, I would tell you to highlight those words right now. Put them into practice. What you've learned, what you've seen, what you've heard, put them into practice. And the peace of God will be with you. So Paul is saying these statements while he is either chained to a guard or actually in jail. He's saying, praise the Lord, rejoice in him, put into practice what I have taught you, and the result will be peace will come over you. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through this stuff, but the peace of God will come upon you. You develop an attitude of gratitude. Well, I 3 points I want to talk about attitude of gratitude here. And the first one is this: an attitude of gratitude knows that God is bigger than any hardship you might be facing. Do you hear that? God is bigger than any hardship you might be facing. And on his strength, notice I underlined the word strength, we rise above the difficulty. Do you see that? It means that we are to experience God means that taking the desert and not just the miracles, and learning to keep our hearts soft amidst the terrain that we encounter. So what are they saying here? A normal Christian life will have the miraculous times. And we love those miraculous times. We love it when the music up here is just perfect and we just feel the presence of Almighty God. And it's just like, wow, is this great? God is so real. But the reality is that there are times you will go through times in your spiritual walk and your spiritual life that you will feel so lonely. Those are called the desert periods. Everyone will go through that. I have gone through that. I've gone through that quite a bit. But during those desert times is when we do have choices to make. We can either call out to God even more and call out to him and just buckle down saying, God, I want you. I need you. And we hold on to the strength that God gives us. Or we just say, well, God, whatever. I think when you go through the desert periods in your life, is an excellent opportunity to hold on even tighter to God. How do you do that? We'll talk about that a little bit later. Then we go further. Well, let me just a couple other points here. See, a little point here says unbelief it becomes emboldened in grumbling and complaining. So when we don't trust God's strength, what do? We complain. Or when people are not willing to trust God's goodness and his provision, which is a sign of a symptom of a hurt or hard or unbelieving heart. I misspelled hurt down here instead of heart. So an attitude of gratitude knows that God will give us the strength. You ever been around those people? It just seems like they are beaten up their whole life. It just seems like one problem after another, but their strength is in the Lord. Their strength is in the Lord. Okay, let me back up. An attitude of gratitude knows that there are two realities. The seen and unseen, the natural and the spiritual. The natural and the spiritual. There is a spiritual side to us and into life. Now, we're stuck in the natural because that's what we see. I mean, we for example, the natural this past week is we got rain, right? How many days did it rain? 2-3 days of the whole week? And it just seemed like it rained and rained and rained. That's natural. Okay? We know it rained. By the way, in case you're wondering, I've heard up here they got about 2.5 inches. Salina got 4.5 inches. Anybody get more than that? Somebody get more than that? Oh, well. I don't hear you if you're saying it. But, you know, that's the natural realm. But there's a spiritual side of us and of existence that many times we don't look at, nor do we recognize that it's there. For example, one of my favorite passages of scriptures is found in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. Here you have Elisha. And what Elisha was doing is that when the king of Aram was coming to attack the Israelites, Elisha would go to the Israelite king and say, don't go there because the king of Aram is going to attack you there. Or prepare because there's going to be an attack over here. And so if you're the king of Aram, and you find out there's a spy in your midst, or somehow the information is getting to the king of Israel, what are you going to do? You have to cut off that communication. So they found out that Elisha was the one that was giving the information to the king of Israel. So what did he do? The king of Aram said, find Elisha and kill him. And they said, well, he's at Dothan right now. Okay, go get him. So he sent his army and surrounded Elisha. And this, I love this, okay? And so one morning, Elisha's servant comes walking out. I don't know if he was getting water or what he was doing. And all of a sudden he looks up and goes, whoa! And the Bible literally says, he says, oh my Lord, not referring to God, but referring to Elisha. What are we going to do? We're surrounded by Aram's army. So Elisha comes walking out. Don't worry about it. Turns around, walks away. And I can just imagine Elijah's servant going, don't you care? Aren't you concerned? And Elijah's servant comes out and prays. His servant's eyes would be open. And at that point, his eyes were open. And what did he see? He saw that they were surrounded by angels on chariots of fire were protecting them. I love it. And the reason why I love it, because I always imagine, what does this building look like if our spiritual glasses were put on? What would we be seeing if we could see into the spiritual realm? Would there be a battle going on? I don't know. Some pastors say they are. I don't know. But I do believe that there would be spiritual beings in here or around this building. It's in the spiritual realm. But yet many times we don't look at the spiritual realm because we're so focused on the physical. And it's hard to trust the spiritual realm because of the fact that we're looking at the physical. I mean, Isaiah 43 says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That's a spiritual realm. That means, irregardless of what you're going through, God is with you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. See, when you look at the spiritual realm, you look at the promises that are found in Scripture, and you apply them to your life, and you hold on to those promises. For example, surely goodness and mercy, will follow you all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Anybody know where that came from? Nobody knows where that came from. Everybody's afraid to say it. Yes, you're right. What I want to show you today is a video. I think I might post it on Facebook for you, but I actually got excited about going to Israel. I have no plans to go to Israel. But everybody says, do you want to go to Israel? I said, I really don't. And they go, why? I said, because I don't like being part of tourist groups. Okay? I just don't like that. I like to go on my own. Well, this is a couple, and they're actually going through Israel, and they're going to the non-touristy places. I go, I'd love to do that. Okay? What this is the Valley of the Shadow of Death. On the east side of Jerusalem's wall is a valley. And in that valley, thousands of years ago, the Israelites would sacrifice their children to Moloch. And they would dump their bodies there. In that valley that's right there. Now, if I were to expand that out a little more, you would see the Jerusalem wall. And then you would see houses that are built up all around that valley. No one will build in that valley. I wonder why. Now here is the Jerusalem wall. Okay? And you see what looks like rocks here? Those are actually graves. The Jewish people believe that when the Messiah does come, they'll be resurrected. And so they want to be the first one resurrected. So they will pay big money to be buried next to the wall in a cemetery. In fact, the commentator said $1 million. $1 million to be buried there. The closer to the wall. And so here you have this road right here. You have Jerusalem, you have the cemetery, you have the road right here. And there you have the Kidron Valley, or the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Now, let me bring a little up to you, a little more information. When David wrote this psalm was when Absalom, his son, had caused an insurrection against King David. And so King David left and he fled Jerusalem into the wilderness. He went through this area. And I could imagine him escaping, looking over, let me back up a little bit, looking over here and seeing the sheep eating in the valley. And these words probably came to him when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the quiet waters, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, David was referring to right here. Because it is a valley, shadows were always or in that valley quite a bit. So when the sun came up, there'd be a shadow on one side. When the sun came down, there'd be a shadow on the other side. So it didn't get much sun. And so David is saying, even though I walk through the darkest valley here, or the valley of the shadow of death here, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Who's he saying you? Meaning God. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you see this? Isn't that neat when you start to see these things? You go, oh, now it makes sense. There's another aspect to this that I didn't bring up in the first service, but I'll bring it up here. Let me back up to right here. So here's the road. It was a narrow road, and that's where bandits and robbers and stuff would also attack people who were walking through that area. So it was an area you had to be very, very cautious about. So here's David. His life has just fallen apart. His son was trying to take over his kingdom. He is fleeing from his son. He is walking through the valley that children were sacrificed in, and these words came to him. See, that's when you praise the Lord, because your spiritual eyes are open and you recognize the fact that God is God, God is with you, and the rivers will not overflow you, the fire will not burn you, and when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And I think Christians, I think even in the lowest parts in our lives, we can hold on to what scriptures teach us. And I think we can use the television that's in our brains to maybe imagine God lifting us up and carrying us through the waters and the fire. And I think even when we deal with some of the tragedies that we go through in life, we can just imagine that the angels of God are with us. I mean, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter that gives us comfort in our time. And just the embracing, spiritual embraces that we go through. Our spiritual eyes can see beyond what our natural eyes can see. Where love and hope are destroying fear and death, even if this deeper reality escapes our natural mind. Gratefulness that gives us eyes to see and brings us back to the story that God writes. Lastly, an attitude of gratitude is a byproduct of spiritual practices. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. That's a changing of your mind. What are you putting in your mind? When you're on the Facebook, when you're on the internet, what's on your mind? I've been very clear with you. I've stopped watching the news because I can't stand it anymore. It's the same thing over and over again. I can't handle it. If there's something I want to watch in the news, I get on YouTube and watch the whole thing, not the 30 seconds or the 10 seconds that the news media says I want to see. I'll watch the entire thing and make up my mind. It's amazing how different it is. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the Lord of peace will be with you. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. There it is. Here are some 10 benefits of spiritual disciplines and putting into practice your spirituality. Number one, it provides clarity in the midst of overflowing and demanding days. Number two, it cultivates the attention required to complete our tasks. We recognize that there's more to it. It lifts our mood. You hear that? It lifts our mood. It creates a sense of steadiness and grounding in change. It keeps us afloat